Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Brodnick.
And I'm Victoria Montalbano.
And we love scams! Hi guys, we love scams, we love you. We love a dear close friend on the mic. Victoria, welcome to ScamWell. I'm so happy.
Thank you, I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my goodness. So guys, Victoria was my college roommate and dear close friend and still amazing friend. Whenever we get to see each other, but we're in different parts of the country. We always have been.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I thought eventually like we would end up like one of us would be in the other city, but no, we've stayed for like the 15 years in our own places.
In our own places, I know.
But that's good. You're doing, because we were started, I stopped Victoria before we recorded because I want to hear all about her life. And I want to save it for the pod because you're doing such cool things.
All right.
Tell us all about it.
About all the cool things I do?
Yes, you're so cool.
Okay. So, well, I have a solo show.
Yes.
Called The Princess Strikes Back, One Woman's Search for the Space Cowboy of Her Dreams.
It's so great. In Chicago, right? You're in Chicago. So
I'm in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I live in Chicago. I'm attempting to tour the show. So it's about how my childhood crush on Han Solo has affected the rest of my dating life.
I love this.
It's very funny. There are fun stories.
Yes.
And very nerdy.
Oh, I love it.
And so, yeah, I'll be doing it at the Indianapolis Fringe Festival in a couple of weeks.
That's huge.
I don't know when this is dropping, but a couple of weeks from when we're recording. So
that's huge. Yes. And yeah. I'll put the link in our notes and everything because I want all of our, because we have listeners all over, so they would love to see it.
Oh, yeah. If you're in Indy. And if you're in the Chicagoland area, I'm like writing new stuff now and doing a lot of gigs. So I'll give you my website at the end.
I love it, Victoria.
So,
and
yeah.
You're doing stuff with comedy, too. You're doing The Annoyance, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing a show at The Annoyance.
Okay.
So I'm, like, booked for one night. I don't want any, like, actual Annoyance people to be like, I've never heard of her.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that always the way? Like, you do something at one show, and you're like, I don't want the herds of people that are so intense about it. No, I know.
No, I was an I.O. person when it came to Chicago comedy. They're closed now. They're, like, supposedly going to reopen.
Everything's closed now.
That was my home.
Uh-huh.
But even so, I hadn't been back in such a long time. So even, like, people who are currently at I.O. are going to be like, who is that person?
I feel that way. I feel that way. I think everyone feels that way with every aspect of their lives. Like, if you went to a gym, you know, and you were, like, a regular there at the Zumba class, and then suddenly COVID hit and you're like, I don't think I want to be sweating and breathing in other people's sweaty air.
No, I just saw some Pilates friends from a Pilates class for the first time since pre-pandemic the other day. Because I'm like, no, I'm not going. It's also really expensive and I can't afford it.
Of course. Also, like, when you describe something as like a Pilates friend, we're all like, oh, pre-pandemic. Like everyone knows, like, if you say, I don't know if you would say like my Zoom book club, we all know it's a current group. But if you say anything of a social gathering before, we all know you haven't seen those people in a while. Oh my God. Victoria, you're so funny. You're so great. So guys, she's a comedian, a writer, a wonderful lady. We can also cut this too. Are you doing any school stuff right now? Because you were like co-teaching, right?
Yeah, I was teaching. I'm not teaching anymore. I am nannying randomly and part-time.
And getting whatever you want.
But yeah, no, I do have a podcast myself.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the other thing I'm doing.
Share it, everything. Sure.
Okay. So it's called Now Kiss, a shipping podcast.
Uh-huh.
And my dear friend Kat and I are two thirsty nerds. And we just talk about all of the fictional characters kissing. Who kisses on the screen? Who we want to kiss?
Who are your top kissers that you want to kiss or to kiss?
So I'm going to give you one nerdy one.
Give me all of it.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
It's really nerdy. We've tried to, like...
I love it.
...branch out but so people...
Victoria, the amount... nerds are alive and thriving, and we are here, and we are nerdy. And I think growing up in the 90s, it was, like, it was a bad word. And now it's just me and somebody who likes to Google things.
Yeah. So we just did one recently on Obi-Wan Kenobi and the Duchess Satine, which is like a very deep cut. Mm-hmm. In the Star Wars universe.
But I know I got listeners that know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. There, if you're a fan of the Clone Wars TV series, you know what's up.
Okay. So, yeah. So you want them to hook up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, canonically, they did hook up as teenagers, but like we haven't seen it on screen and it's very sad.
So let's get back to it.
Yeah.
Right? Let's get back to basics. Yeah. Okay, and then what's the another one?
Okay, so the other, like, sitcom one we did was Nick and Jess from New Girl.
Oh, okay.
Because they had a really good will they or won't they when they were...
Did they ever?
Yeah, they got together.
I never saw the show.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Well, I mean, we're 90s kids, so, like, and my co-host Kat is the same age as us, so we're like, well, we grew up with like Friends, but we don't want to talk about Ross and Rachel. It's like so done.
I'm so bored with them.
Yeah, and you know, I was obsessed with Friends in college.
You were.
Now I'm like, I can't watch it anymore. Like I've just seen it so many times.
That's good to know. But so you used to fall asleep to. You fell asleep to TV. You were one of the first people I knew that fell asleep to TV.
Yeah.
I still do it now. Yeah, I do it now, like, religiously.
I started as a teenager, and I would fall asleep to Nick at Night, because I had a TV in my room when I was a teenager, and I would just leave Nick at Night on and fall asleep.
You're so cool. That's what you're doing.
I don't know that that's true.
That is cool. That is cool. Okay, but so, because of that 90s nostalgia, because of that goofiness, we are at the tail end of our summer, but we're not going to leave behind the summer of scam movies. Mm-mm. We love the summer of scam movies, and Victoria and I have been dying to connect and do this episode together for weeks.
For a while, we've been trying. I know.
And we are doing the movie, do you want to tell them?
Sure. We're doing the movie Blank Check from, I think it was 1994.
Yes. I'm going to grab my stuff. I have some notes and I have some references.
Yeah, I took some notes also.
I love it. Okay. Yeah, release date 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in fourth grade.
Yeah.
We were in fourth grade.
Yeah, I was in fourth grade. And I remember seeing this movie at a sleepover.
Oh.
My, like, grade school best friend, Melissa. We would sleep over each other's houses, like, almost every weekend.
As you do.
And so most 90s movies I saw with her.
With her.
As, like, a Blockbuster night.
Oh, that's so fun. I know, that really was. We'd go to Blockbuster. You'd get at checkout. I'd always want to get all the extra candy. I never could. Yeah, I remember walking around Blockbuster and just, like, seeing this one. And it looked like the kid was cool and smart. And I think some kids on my block really liked it. I only grew up with boys on my street that were very huge assholes.
Of course.
So they liked everything that was like an asshole based thing. And they were like, yeah, Blank Check. And so
there are so many assholes in this movie.
Oh my God. Yeah. And before we start, can we talk about the fact that every 90s movie, they were so mean to children?
Yes. Okay.
They're horrible.
That dad right now would totally be like, you could totally buy a house. Just stop eating avocado toast. You'll be fine.
Right.
Like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. He's such, like, a boomer dad.
Yes,
and he was, like, encouraging his kid. Like, the older brother and his friend had a business. We never find out what the business is.
No.
I don't know if it's, like, lawn mowing or whatever. But they have a business. And the dad lets them use, like, the desk in his room, in Preston's room, the main character, to run their business and buys them this, like, fancy Macintosh computer.
And he who makes the money makes the rules. So he doesn't have a bedroom anymore because he's not making an income.
And it's like, and it's not like this kid, it's not like they shared a room. Like, they had their own rooms. And he's still, like, He gets out of it because he runs his business. Like, forget about child labor laws, 12-year-old. Like,
forget about it. Well, okay, yeah. So this movie starts with, the premise of this movie is a kid, and the reason we're doing it for a scam movie is because this kid gets a bunch of money fraudulently and then lives his best life. But it all starts with the fact that this parent and these parents are drilling home that you'll only be happy, successful, a real person that matters if you have a job. And they're all underage. They're like 15 and under. They're so young.
I mean, I remember I got a part-time job like almost as soon as I was allowed to. And I think you were allowed to have a job when you were 14, but it was like very limited hours. You could only work like 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Right.
And then when you were 16, it like bumped up a little bit.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah, I remember, this kid is 12 years old.
He's so, And I remember I had, I was babysitting. So I was babysitting from like 10 years old on, but my first real job was at Quiznos, which was like an official job, you know, but I do remember this. And the kid says in the movie, like, I thought are we doing so badly? And apparently, like, the dad, it's really the dad's fault. He made all these investments that went poorly, right? Or the mom said, we have to start saving.
I don't know. It's they kind seem of to have, shady. Like, a nice house.
Yeah.
They're like, dad seems to have a good job. America.
I know. They're doing fine.
Indiana real estate. Like,
he's doing great. And also this kid. So the kid goes to, the beginning shows you how poor this kid, which the child is not poor, and it's just such a slap in the face to any family that's actually struggling,
right?
Specifically at that time. It's just a white family that's not opulently rich.
Right, but they have, like, a nice house.
They have cars. They have a beautiful house. It looks like the house from Father of the Bride. Like, it looks beautiful.
It probably is.
Yeah, it probably is. He's clothed. Oh, and the dad had a Volvo. Oh, no.
Yeah.
The bad guy had a Volvo. Somebody had something.
The dad and totally had a Volvo.
Yeah, he was fine, and so then Preston goes to a birthday party. This is all in the beginning before, like, the plot turns. And it's a birthday party, and he only has $6 because it's his life savings to spend for tokens at the birthday party. And these kids that are his friends just keep being like, hey, you poor ass.
Yeah, oh, and it's not even his, because the brother and the brother's friend stole his, like, jar of money. And so dad just gave him $6. But, like, the brother stole his savings.
There's no justice from the jar in this house.
No.
This house is capitalism.
Yeah.
The dad is creating a capitalistic society because he's a psychopath. And he's having the poor, like, fight each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so the criminal in this movie, it, like, the cold open, I guess, like, while the credits are rolling, is this criminal escaping from prison and finding this, like, stash of $1 million cash that he had stolen and stashed away.
And hidden before prison, right. But he also had, like, a flame torch. Like, he was in a, factory. It wasn't like it was hidden in, like, a backyard. It was in a factory, and he takes, like, a blowtorch to it. And I'm thinking, this guy just escaped jail. He's still in his outfit from jail, and he's not being quiet. He's quite loud. And so, like, metal case.
He's scamming, too, because he goes to the bank, and the bank president or bank manager or whatever is, like, helping him do white-collar crime.
Yes.
Because I guess I tried to figure it out. I don't understand white-collar crime. Like, if I could money launder, I would not know how to do it.
Yeah.
I would do it if I could.
Exactly. But this, it's usually like you come up with certain, with money laundering, it's like you come up with another company or a shell corporation and you transfer funds and this and that, or you wire things. This was literally, he had the physical $1 million. He gave it to his friend at the bank. His friend said, these are too traceable because however he stole this money, the bills, the number sequences were in order. So he said, we have to change it out for bank bills.
Right.
So he exchanged it on the DL for his, like, his original bills for bank bills, and then put it in the safe behind the bank guy's desk. Now, we don't know this at the time, but all the bank bills have, like, stamped FBI on them.
Yeah, because FBI is watching this bank also.
Yeah.
And they're like, so he has this checkbook. The bank manager gives him a checkbook. And he's like, bring this in tomorrow to cash the check so that it looks above board or whatever.
I don't know why. If I was the guy, I would have just sat there and said, okay, give me the $1 million.
Right? Like, why did they have to deal with the check?
Yeah, the guy who just got out of prison is in such a rush to who knows what. I don't know where he's going to. But he hands him the $1 million, asks him to trade the bills out. And then tomorrow, 24 hours later, at 1 p.m., he's going to come in with a check. And a guy named Juice is going to ask him for the money, and he's going to give him all the cash money to Juice. Not even to this guy. That is so crazy. You got out of jail. You swam across a lake. Yeah. It looked like Alcatraz. Like, you should not be letting some guy named Juice get your money.
No. And so, but then what happens, he backs into Preston's bike. Like, as almost runs him over.
He almost murders Preston, right?
Yeah, and then gives him a check, but because he sees, like, police coming, and then Preston's bully is there, too.
That bully never stops.
No. He works really hard. And is, like, also bullying the criminal. Yeah. And it's like,
this little redhead bully is like,
I think you've been drinking vodka.
Yeah, he starts shouting out things to try and, like, get this criminal. It's just, like, the funniest thing. That was the thing, too, in the 90s, that kids decided they could ruin adults' lives by yelling false things. They'd be like, this guy's trying to kidnap me, or this person is drinking vodka, or he's already tried to touch me. Like, they say horrible things, and that was like a prank, but it does ruin a human's life.
Yes. And so, because he's trying to just slip away quickly, he doesn't fill in the amount.
Right.
And so says, the kid has a blank check.
Give it to your dad. Your dad will know what to do.
Right. But Preston, he doesn't get into his stuff. Knows how blank checks work.
Right.
Because there's the whole scene where, like, he got a check from his grandma.
This kid is such a piece of shit. He got, the whole family are assholes. Like, he gets a check from his grandmother. He doesn't say thank you or anything. He's just like, God damn it, there's no amount on it. And, like, is so mad. And they said, what do you wish for? He wished that he could have enough money to kill his brother and to off his brother and his brother's best friend. That's like all the jokes. The jokes are so
insane.
It's
all about, like,
it's so
murder and DUIs.
Yeah. Okay. That's where we're starting. So, right, because Preston got a blank check from his grandmother, and his dad said, oh, you can just fill it in. What did grandma give you last year? Let's add $1 instead of $10. It was $11.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the beginning of understanding what a blank check was. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was good movie writing, because it's like, oh, that's an interesting circumstance to happen. But then he takes his check, and on his computer, also, Victoria, this is so funny, in the 90s every single child was like a hacker.
Yeah.
Computers were just started, and yet everyone knew how to hack them.
He knew exactly. And they threw in, like, one line at the beginning where the dad's like, maybe you could show your brother how to use it, that, like, he was a real computer kid.
That was it. Yeah, that was the one that
was it. But he knew exactly how to, like, space out on whatever
printing
was before Microsoft Word. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know. He had some doc where he was typing in to cash. He put in $1 million, and for somehow it was perfectly set to print out on a single check, which we still can't do today. Like, I still can't get my printer to do something that sophisticated.
Absolutely not. No, if I have to print a label, I waste so much label paper.
Oh,
I just write it on. Like,
the labels are gone. I know.
No, I just write it on if I need a label. There's no, like, nice printing.
It would have been easier to forge the signature than to write it in the thing. So, on his Apple Mac computer, which clearly Apple was like, this is where we want to be.
Yeah.
In the beginning of capitalism, not the beginning. And at first I thought Macintosh and Mac were different, because this movie made me feel that way. But so he writes on the check, and then he goes to the bank. It happens to be the next day, the same time that Juice was supposed to come,
mm-hmm.
for this whole heist and bill dropping. And this child goes to a lady at the checkout and says, can I cash this for $1 million? Now, he wants to go to his fancy lake. We didn't even talk about this. He's been flirting with an adult woman the whole time. The child has been trying to get in the pants of this adult woman.
There are full rom-com beats with an adult
You're so right.
Woman.
I really tried so hard, Victoria, to be like, no, she's just, like, humoring him. Like, she's just trying to be nice to get to the thing. But it is quite a lot of sexual innuendos.
Yes. And a lot of, like, real sexual tension.
Yes, and they kiss at the end.
And they kiss on the lips.
And the lips! And it's so disgusting. And she, like,
so gross.
She was directed, you can tell, to, like, give a real kiss. And his mouth is so pursed together. Like, it must have been his first kiss.
I was like, I was going to say that. Like, that poor actor. It was probably his first kiss.
Well, I went online, and this actor has not done anything since then. I really think Blank Check fucked up his life.
Yeah. Well, he was, like, a child actor. Like, he was the kid from Family Ties. Like, he was, like, the new toddler they added to Family Ties, you know, at the end of an 80s sitcom when they're like, we need to renew this. Let's add another kid. He was that kid.
So, like,
he's got 80s sitcom money, you know? Yeah. Like, oh my God, I don't feel so bad for him.
I felt bad. Like, I was, like, watching him in this with that, the bad guy, like, shaking him and the kid's, like, looking like he's going to cry. I'm like, he's not acting. This is actually a child who's terrified.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure that actor was, like, actually shaking him.
Completely. Completely. Because in the 80s, too, I remember when, like, sketches and scenes were like, oh, no, you can really throw my body into that garage.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember even in, like, the early 2000s, I was like, just slap me. It's no big deal. Just, like, give me a real slap if there's a slap in the scene. Like, no biggie.
Yeah, let's go for honesty. It's so true. And if you think about what they were doing in the 70s, they were, like, we're literally, like, whipping people off of, like, bikes and, like, karate chopping.
Oh, yeah.
It was real.
All of that. It was all real.
No,
and everyone was on cocaine. So, like.
Totally. Everyone was taking their meds. As many meds as I'm taking today. The same thing. Double it. yeah. So, okay. So, he is flirting with this, and I actually thought at the time she was, like, the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen.
She's beautiful.
Alan was like, really? I never had anything for her, but it was Karen Duffy. I was like, you are the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
As a child. I was like, if only.
Yeah. And she, I mean, I thought at first it was going to be like, well, because it's revealed at the end that she's an FBI agent.
Yes.
And so she's working undercover. Watching. And since he clearly is the key to finding this money, that she has to, like, talk to him. But no one ever said, like, did this guy hire a 12-year-old?
Right.
Preston passes off everything, like, gets away with spending all this money and buying all this stuff and installing all this stuff and buying a house because he says he's working for Mr. McIntosh.
A completely made-up person that Preston is impersonating, which is the pinnacle of catfishing. He's really starting the trend of catfishing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was during our childhood, which is why I think there's so many successful catfishers, because we all watched Blank Check.
So, yeah. So, not once, which she keeps saying, like, will Mr. McIntosh be there? I need to see Mr. McIntosh. But she never once was like, this seems fishy that Mr. McIntosh hired a 12-year-old to handle...
It's not legal.
...his finances. It is not legal. Like, she could have just shut it down then.
She needed to. Right. But no, she goes with it, and then she goes... So, we're rushing ahead. So, anyway, that is a sketch relationship. Think of that. So, Preston doesn't get to talk to his sexy lady at the bank. He has to talk to this... older woman who I'm sure was only, like, in her 40s, but they made her look so old.
Oh, I know. In the 80s and 90s, people looked so much older.
So old. You could not be over 35. You were dumb. No.
They were like, we will give you all of the, like, giant blouses
all
and
the
pleated
blouses.
Pants.
Dye your hair white.
Yes.
And make, like, you walk with a limp.
Lacy collars for, like, grandma.
Who's the guy? The guy who plays the bad guy, Mr. Bitterman, Michael Lerner, looks the exact same as he looks today. Like, they made him, he has been playing an old crotchety guy for years.
For years.
So, Bitterman is the one that's supposed to hand the check or cash the check to Juice. That was the crime scenario. So the child comes in and he says, and Bitterman says to him, do you like juice? And he's like, I guess I drink juice. And Bitterman is just cracking up, like, what a brilliant idea. Have a child as your, you know, as your cover. Have some kid come in with a backpack to take the money. No one would suspect that the crime is being carried out by another member of the team, and the member on the team is a child. And that's not what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be Tone Locke comes in. But so Bitterman gives little tiny Preston all this money because he wrote on the check. And Preston is like, oh my God, I'm rich, and has a sequence of, like, life is finally great.
Yes. He buys a house. First of all, buys a castle.
A castle that's just in the middle of Chicago.
It's in Indiana. I paid attention because I drive through Indiana quite a bit.
Yeah.
And there are no castles in Indiana. Indiana has like a few mid-sized cities and then farms. And that's it. There are no suburbs.
This castle was right in the middle of a suburb of Indiana.
But there's a suburb and there's a castle in the suburb that he pays $300,000 cash for.
Yes.
And they made it seem like that was a really high amount. Like the bad guy was going to buy it for $180,000. And I was like, I know Indiana real estate is really cheap, but honestly, it made me so sad for the 90s housing market.
I know.
If a castle was $300,000, even in Indiana, like, maybe I would have a hope of home ownership one day.
Never.
But never.
We know. We never will. That's been made clear. We're just going to be renters forever.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, like, the adding it up in the story, the twist at the end is that, of course, like, it doesn't work out. And spoiler alert, he runs out of money. But the amount of money spent, and so he starts with $1 million. He goes down to, now he has $700,000. Mm. But he spends it like he has a gagillion dollars.
Yeah. like he installs a water slide from like the house into the pool.
It's amazing.
Go-karts, giant TVs.
Professional limo driver.
Yes. Okay, that limo driver.
The best part.
I loved that actor so much. And you just know that actor would walk into an audition room and see John Candy sitting there and be like, oh, fuck.
You're right. I'm losing
out on this one.
I'm going off. Completely. Oh, he was so sweet. He was so nice. He was so Canadian. All of his scenes, you know, were ad-libbed. Like, you know, he told all those jokes.
He was fully writing improvising. He was fully just like doing his stand-up for sure.
That's what Alan said. He's like, I have a little stand-up about an ice cream truck. And he's like, let me do it.
He's like, let me just do it. Let me throw it in. You're going to want it in the edit.
You're going to want it. It's so true, Victoria. And the guy was such a good actor. What makes me laugh so hard is that he says, like, he's the one who teaches Preston, like, you need to know who your real friends are. Like, who can you really trust? And when the money goes, if the friends go, then they're not friends afterwards. Well, at the end of the movie, he goes away.
Yeah.
He brings the kid ice cream and then drives off in his limo because Preston can't pay him anymore. So he's actually not his friend.
I know. And also, this kid has no friends his own age.
Yeah, he is a sociopath.
Like, why? I mean, they have a bully and they kind of set up. He's like a little bit of a nerd, but he's not like the way nerds were in the 90s.
Not a typical 90s nerd where he's constantly falling over himself.
He seems like a kid. Like, he should have one best friend.
One single person.
Yeah.
Well, his parents don't even like him, so I guess that creates a concept.
Yeah.
You know, when your parents hate you.
Yeah, and he runs through his money so fast, but this kid is so on top of the finances. I do not buy that he would not be balancing that checkbook every single night.
You're right. I mean, I guess we could chalk it up to, like, you know, childhoodness and, like, getting carried away. But that's making the writers make us do something. You're right. He has multiple TVs to create the size of an enormous wall of TVs. And looking back now, they're, like, the clunkiest, oldest TVs that he's I got them all.
But in 94, that was,
a big deal.
Yeah.
Such a big deal. And so he has, on those TVs, he can pull up a screen of his, like, accounting. And he has this accounting, like, blown up on a big screen, and he's putting in all of his numbers. And he
it's in, like, basically like current technology, the way you can, like, cast your computer to a device or a phone to a device or whatever and see everything.
He's got Excel, and he's, like, looking it up, and then at the end, he's like, I only have $300. Because
he's doing his spreadsheets.
He spent so much money. There's, of course, a montage, a dressing up montage, what were some of the other montages? A buying technology montage, a toy montage.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a montage with music. And the actor looks so uncomfortable. Even in his montage, it's like everybody else is having fun, but they buy sumo wrestling outfits. Mm-hmm. They buy a batting cage. They buy virtual reality. It's the go-kart was like
go-kart.
The big deal. He bought a go-kart for his own backyard and his own go-kart track, and he can run around and terrorize people in his go-kart by himself.
Yeah, because he has no friends to play. Like, that's not fun.
No.
You need to go-kart with a friend. Also, he wears a helmet to ride his go-kart, but not to ride his bike in the street.
Dumbass.
I know. Well, and I know, like, it was the 90s. We didn't wear helmets.
We didn't, know.
On bikes. But, like, he did put it on for a go-kart in his backyard on, like, a structured track.
Right.
Yeah.
Under, in a cage. No, exactly. And then, oh, so the driver, because his name is Nick Dukumanin.
Yeah, I looked him up. I can't, I'm not going to try and pronounce
it. D-U-C-O-M-M-U-N. Yeah. Dukumanin. I don't know. He was amazing, but also he was on the clock. He was being paid to have fun with this child. And I think the hint was that he kind of knew that there was no real Macintosh and that the kid just needed a friend and was lonely. But everyone around, he just kept saying it was for Mr. Macintosh. And the buzz of the town was that Mr. Macintosh is good for this money. So, but it never was clear, did the kid take out credit cards? Did he say Macintosh will pay you back? Just put it on a thing. Like
no, he just paid cash. Straight up cash.
$700,000 does not give you all of the things he had.
No. But he paid straight up cash for everything. And that's what the party planner or like PR person, whoever she was, when he was
Debbie
like planning.
Allen, who was so scary. She was such a like, she was so good at scaring, being like a scary thing for kids. It's like a no-nonsense adult woman who was like angry at you. It was so well done.
Yeah. And she looked amazing.
Amazing.
Her party dress was...
Black and white stripes, right?
Oh my God. Yes. Black and white stripes. And then like fit and flare, but like full flare.
Full flare. The 80s flare of like the taffeta under or like
crinoline. I loved it. I want it now.
Of course.
I want it now. But
that's
yeah.
How I should look.
She's like, oh, I need a deposit. And so she took 10 grand cash out of his backpack and is like, here's the deposit. So if he has this, I guess he's good for the rest.
I guess, yes. And so she did such a good job with her character because she was like, how am I going to reason that this dumbass kid is in control and why am I going to listen to him? And so she was saying like, okay, well, if you're Mr. Macintosh can talk to me. And she was being very, she was just being so good in it. And also very scary to children. It was really good. Oh, and then, so while all this is happening, the bad guy comes back. The bad guy named Miguel Ferrer, who's been in everything.
He's in everything.
He's like, he's like the number one bad guy. He comes back and asks Bitterman, where's my money? Mm-hmm. Bitterman's like, oh, I gave it to the child who's now spending it all. And Miguel Ferrer now has to go find this child who has the money, which he shouldn't. And they say at the end, it would have been easier to just like steal another $1 million.
Yeah.
Because trying to find a child in wherever they are in Indiana is incredibly weird and creepy and hard. And Tone Locke also was there, who was supposed to be, who was his buddy. And he's just got the most amazing voice. And I just love listening to him. So good. No movie's complete without him.
Yeah.
And so then they try to find the child and then it becomes they're chasing the child and it turns into Home Alone.
Yes. They fully, I said that exact same thing in my brain. It's like, really? Oh, it's 94. When was Home Alone? Was 90, right?
I don't know, Home Alone 2
was a big thing.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, we have a kid in a movie with bad guys that are criminals. We must Home Alone it.
In a house, in a huge house. Yes, they're doing all of the toys he now bought. He's used to like really injure these adult men.
Right, but it's such a weird beat because in Home Alone, it's like all leading up to that. In this movie, it's just like a tiny part.
We're just going to choose violence just right now, you know, because also it's very clear that these men want to murder and then kill this kid. Like if there's no like, you know, let's get in there and it's sort of mysterious. Like, can we work with him or anything? It's like these guys are going to murder me and that's just on the table.
Yeah. And he was going to say, like, I think they went to murder because the kid had so successfully taken on a new identity.
Yes.
And that's what Miguel Ferrer needed to do was like.
Yes.
Take the money, take on a new identity.
He was
get
dying
out,
so
he's like,
that.
I can just take over what this kid has done.
Right.
You know, return this stuff. It's only been 6 days. Return it or sell it or whatever. Right. Get some of that, make some of that money back.
He actually knows how buying and selling works. This child does not.
Like, live as Mr. Macintosh. The only problem with that is this kid knows. He's the only one who knows.
Right. So we got to off him.
So we got to murder him. We got
to
murder
and
children.
We got to. And then through all this, the sexy lady, Karen Duffy at the bank, who is called Shay. And also, Alan told me, he stopped the movie. He's like, Caitlin, this is the exact plot of Dumb and Dumber. Did you realize that?
I didn't realize that.
She also plays like a mobster lady with $1 million cash that was given to, like, one of the Dumb and Dumber guys.
Uh-huh.
They spend it all, and she has to get it back through a series of stuff. And her name is also Shay in Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, my God.
Yes! We
That's
were dying.
Insane.
We were
I don't
dying.
Think I've seen Dumb and Dumber since the 90s, so.
It is one of Alan's most favorite movies, and he's watching, and he's like, wait, her? He's like, she played the monster's person, and there was a case of $1 million that was missing as well, and they had to find it, and so it was so funny. Yeah. So she's doing, and it was also, they both came out in the same year, so she just, like, really doubled down.
Yeah.
On this.
She was like, I'm going to play sexy FBI agent,
I
sexy
love
monster.
Of money. I love
I will seduce
I
whomever you want me
whatever.
To, even if he's a child.
Child, Jim Carrey, whatever we need. Yes.
Yeah.
So she's doing that. And so, but yeah, through all of this hijinks, she just keeps going up to the child being like, can I just talk to your boss? Which is insane.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Yeah, and then in the middle, I know we're, like, totally out of order.
I love it. It's fine.
I know that we touched on this already, but I just have to bring it up again. They went on a full-on date.
Oh, right. She takes the child out on a date to try and get information on
no,
Mr. McIntosh.
He takes her out on a date. And
you're
she
right.
goes along with it to try and get information, but it's absolutely a rom-com beat.
Totally sexual tension.
Yes, of, like, oh, I'm going out with this guy for, like, some other purpose.
Well, she's in a rom-com. The actor, the child actor just looks like, the whole time, he's like, where am I? What's my line? Like, he looks so underprepared for everything that's happening in this movie that it's just kind of, like, thrown on him. And he's like, okay, I guess I'm here. Like, it feels incredibly awkward, and the child is incredibly awkward. The whole thing is bizarre. It's not like he's playing into it and you see that she as an adult woman is like playing house with him and saying like, okay, fine, I'll pretend to be your girlfriend.
Play along. No, she's really
she's going for it and the child looks uncomfortable and it makes it so much worse.
No, and then they like, they do that, they run through the fountain.
Oh, yeah. They try to escape the bad guys because the bad guys find them. They run through a fountain. Water zhuzhes up her skirt. They're laughing and running around. And it's bizarre. It is did not age well.
No.
Okay, now where are we, Victoria? Where are we in this plot, this crazy-ass movie?
I have no idea. I think we're at the party. We've jumped around a bit.
Okay. He tells everyone, everybody wants to see Mr. McIntosh. So this child, even his parents are now like, I want to talk to Mr. McIntosh for investment ideas. Mm-hmm. So Preston, the child, says, okay, fine. We're going to have a birthday party. It's his birthday party this weekend. It's actually Preston's birthday party, but it was the only lie he could come up with.
Yeah.
And so that's when the party planner, Debbie Allen, comes in. That's when everybody is really getting their energy in to be around Mr. McIntosh.
Mm-hmm.
And the party goes off. Mr. McIntosh has not revealed himself yet. There's a caterer there. And Preston wants, like, pizza and fries. And they have, like, all this fancy stuff. And the driver is understanding that he's upset. So he goes to get the poor kid some ice cream. He shows up with ice cream later in a big trash can filled with ice cream, which is, like, honestly a dream.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would love to dive into that. But he and it becomes chaotic. So then everyone arrives at the party.
Yes. And that's the big moment. The bad guys are showing up there. Preston is there. And he's, like, starting to have his catharsis of, like, you know, I don't like
it's this. Not going well.
It's not going well. Like, having money hasn't brought me everything that I wanted.
No.
But
even though that's what genuinely he's been raised to believe. Like, it is not his fault. He was in the cult of his father's greed.
Yeah.
And he's just believed that this makes you happy. So he's looking around like, this poor child has to discover this because he's had no adult tell him it could be different.
All that's been instilled in him.
Yes, over and over again. Right. So then everybody, the pressure is on. Then the bad guys come in and they start to chase Brandon around asking for Mr. McIntosh. And we got more hijinks and it's totally scary.
And then the Shay, the hot FBI lady, comes in. It's like Deus Ex hot FBI lady.
Yes.
She comes in. Because realizes that, like, what's going on, and this is the guy. Mm-hmm. And she's finally like, who's Mr. McIntosh? And Miguel Ferrer was, like, ready to take on that
identity
persona. And is like, I am. That's going to be my new identity. And she's like, great, you're all under arrest. And that's the end.
We don't know what happens. We don't know if he'll get the charges dropped. We don't know if later he'll get out of jail and try and kill Preston. We don't know. But she got what she wanted. Preston goes home with his family.
Well, the driver, after they kiss.
Yeah. Oh, she kisses him. He says, I'll wait for you in 10 She's years.
Like, and she brought it up. She's like, contact me in 10 years. And he's like, five.
Six. Yeah.
And then they land on six, which is still creepy. It's
so creepy. When he's 12, so that's like what he's like, 17.
He'll be 18.
18.
So, like, technically legal.
Ew.
But gross.
Ew. And gross. So she's like, I can't wait to bone you when you're legal. I'm just going to be preserving myself in this FBI van around your house as I drive. It was so creepy.
Insane.
Also, he was so uncomfortable. It's like, why would you ever want to be around that? In 10, 15 years, it's just going to get worse. His anxiety is just going to get worse, lady. Let me tell you.
Totally.
So so then they leave. The bad guy gets captured, quote unquote, but nothing is resolved really with that. The brothers are just still assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid goes home with his dad.
Yeah. And like blows out his birthday candles.
Yeah.
That's how it ends.
And that's it. And it's like boring, but he still has no friends
of his own.
He still didn't have a real birthday party. We don't know anything that's happening. He probably has diabetes because he ate a whole trash can of ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you're a kid, you can get through that pretty quickly.
Yes,
but possibly. It's only if you, like, continue eating trash cans of ice cream that you get diabetes.
My sequel is that he finds his love in the trash can now because that's the only thing that reminded him of the the cab driver. And the cab driver is not his friend anymore. He's like, I'm off the clock. I can't get paid. I'll see you later, buddy.
Totally.
It is insane. And also the amount of work that goes on in this, it's assuming that the minimum wage is $3 an hour.
Yeah.
Like the amount of time he has spent with this child plus overtime is 2 cents is the minimum wage.
I hope he's getting time and a half for overtime.
He's definitely not, because Preston doesn't know how to do that yet. But then Preston can go back to his house and be a hacker. Like, I don't understand. Oh, shoot. Preston does tell his family he's going out on a date and he won't be up early because of this woman. And the dad says, lucky. And the wife is right there. So the dad is jealous that his 12-year-old is getting, like, molested by this older woman.
And also, like, what dad doesn't ask their 12-year-old, like, who are you going on a date with?
Yeah. Like, what's her name?
What's her name?
Do you
Can
have
we
your
meet her?
ID attached. Yes.
You're 12. Nothing.
I know. Oh, that is so insane. So the movie was supposed to show how you can fraudulent, like you can stolen identities, you can take money that's not yours, spend it, trackable money, traceable money, all this. It's very like ripe for crime, but it's just done in such a ridiculous way.
Yeah. Because it's meant for kids. There's all these
The best part was the go-karts. I just thought that like everything else was so stupid. And I hated how they treated this child. Like I couldn't get over how badly they treated him. But he did suck. So, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. It was just like, I mean, he sucked because of the way he was treated by his family.
Right. And the programming.
Mm-hmm. You know?
You're right.
Yeah.
He sucked. It wasn't his fault. He was so sucky. Oh my gosh. Well, did you like the movie? Did you enjoy it? Or did you hate it? What did you think?
It was tough to get through. I gotta say, I was kind of looking forward to watching it again just for nostalgia.
Same.
But it was pretty tough. And it's not long, but I did have to do it in two parts.
Yeah.
Like I started
didn't enjoy it
in the evening and then I finished it yesterday morning. And like, it was tough to get through.
I know. I don't recommend you watch it. It's so funny because it is also like, it doesn't age well. Well, it definitely shows like what we thought was funny and or what society like approved as scams or approved as like rich and poor. And just like the 90s were so ridiculous that I did not enjoy it. And I love scams, but I did not enjoy it.
No, it was, I had to have a second screen. Like I had to be scrolling Instagram. Oh, I had to be, you know what I mean?
I was looking at Love Island spoilers because I'm like obsessed with Love Island right now.
No, I was probably doing that and playing a dumb game or something.
We don't recommend the movie, but it was so fun to talk about the scam. And Victoria, if you were a 9-year-old, a 9 to 12, and you got $1 million and you were just able to have $1 million, what do you think you would have done with it?
Oh my gosh. I would have. Oh boy, that's a good question. I can't even think of it. I was such like a theater nerd.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I probably would have just like bought a bunch of musical theater CDs.
That's amazing.
And then that'll cover like $20.
Yeah, I know. 15.
Yeah, no, I don't. And I can't imagine being that age and not having my parents involved in my finances. Like, I wouldn't have known what to do with it. And my parents would have been like...
Oh, my parents would have said no to everything that I would have wanted. Because I would have wanted to build a trapeze circus in the back of my yard so I could practice being a trapeze woman who rides horses and flips on a bar.
Yeah, my tastes were not that expensive as a child, you know? Like, I probably would have wanted, like, a video game or something. I was never allowed to have video games.
Mm-mm.
So
we never played them.
Yeah, so I maybe would have wanted, like, a Nintendo. But, yeah, mostly I can't imagine my mom not being like, well, this is getting saved for college, the end. You'll never see it again.
Yeah, and goodbye. Oh, yeah. No, my parents were so nice. They would let me have gifts, and then I would just blow through them. And it was like, I learned so many lessons. I guess I didn't. I'm still terrible with money, but I'm so bad with money.
Oh, me too.
But yeah, I really, 100%. At that time in my life, I wanted to be a trapeze artist in the circus. And I thought the circus was a great thing.
Yeah.
The circus was a wonderful place.
I probably would have wanted to like do stuff. because I remember a lot of times being like, I want to go do this. And my parents being like, we can't afford it.
Right.
We were also like not poor.
Right. But also, that's also just what you say to your kids sometimes, just to say no. Like Lewis said, Mom, can I have a toy every day after school today? And I was like we don't have the money for that. We have some money for that, but I don't want to spend it on toys every day.
No. Especially, right. He's just going to, like, break them in 2 seconds. And
yeah. No, he's, like, really... I think the COVID kids are, like, really into things.
Yes.
They're really,
because
like,
the things are their best friends.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I had the two-year-old I was nannying for like, 2020 COVID. Like,
yes.
The heart pre-vaccine COVID was, like, would pick up a rock every time we'd, like, go for a walk. And she'd pick up a rock every single day. And she'd, like... freak out if we didn't stop to pick up a rock.
Of course.
And then it was like, oh, this rock is my new best friend.
Right. And she has a pattern and she endows it with all of her joy.
And her mom would like come upstairs from her office from where she was working at home and be like, I'm so sorry, you have rock friends now. Like, they're her best friends.
That's just what we do.
There's nothing I can do about it.
We live with rocks. Yeah. Completely, completely. I was trying to explain to Lewis, like, because we don't have the space for toys. So we're trying to donate toys. We're trying to give toys away. And I keep saying, like, you know, these are like for little babies. Like it's a like cement mixer that has just looks for like a tiny baby. And he's like, but Mom, I'm still little. Like he like doesn't want to like abandon his stupid cement mixer. I'm like, you don't even play with this.
Yeah.
You don't even care. And he's like, but Mom, I'm still young. And I'm like, of course you are. You're very young. But I don't have the space for your young things. We need to like, move on to 4-year-old things.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
And it's so funny because it's a kid will be like, never play with something. And the moment it's in your hand, 100%. They need it.
100%. Also, I am like secretly going through and thinking like, oh, we could give this way, He never plays with this. And then I'll turn around and to my surprise, he pulls it out and is like, remember this dollhouse that was like in the trash and we refurbished? I was ready to give that one away. And I didn't even tell him, but he can just sense it. He can sense it.
No, you got to get rid of stuff after bedtime.
Yeah. No, we've done that. Now we did that. And he's very, very smart. And so I did that with this was so bizarre. I never thought he'd remember. For his birthday party during COVID, it was such a obviously terrible time. I bought like a backdrop of Winnie the Pooh and we hung it up on the wall so that when he woke up on his birthday, it was like we were in Winnie the Pooh land. And I so wanted cute. To try and create, like a place for him to quote go, even though it was inside our house. And then that was early birthday. And then the year goes by, it's a backdrop is in my house. I toss it. 'Cause I'm like, he's not going to remember. Like 2 days before his birthday, he goes like, Mom, are you going to surprise me with, are we going to have Winnie the Pooh again? And I was like, are we? So then I go onto Amazon. I have to buy it. I bring it back.
Oh my God.
I get the whole thing. Like it was only like $12, but still at the same time, I'm like, oh my gosh, he remembered from a year when he was like 2, turning 3, that a Winnie the Pooh backdrop. Like it's so crazy, his memory. So
I think COVID kids remember that more because that's all they have. Like their brains aren't filled
those
with
are
like daycare.
I know. Well, he's now, it's so funny. Like he now asks me like, you know, like how come we don't live in Maryland with grandma and grandpa, basically Gammy and Poppy. And I'm like, well, you know, we live here. Our jobs are here kind of when we get them.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I think I'd rather live there. We were like, well, of course, you know? Yeah. I think if we gave him $1 million, he would want to own a farm. He would believe, like, he's like, I need a farm. I need farm animals. He loves them.
Yeah, I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I would have just, like, gone to amusement parks. Like, I grew up in Florida, so I'd be like, we're going to Busch Gardens every weekend. We're going to Disney World every weekend. Like, I already got to do that more than the average kid,
just
because it's not as expensive when it's only, like, a 2-hour drive.
Right.
But, like, we never stayed in, like, the fancy Disney hotels.
Right, hotel,
we would stay at, like, a Rodeway Inn, like, or, like, a Marriott, you know?
I know.
So we didn't get, like, the fancy, like, monorail into the parks and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, but that's good. That's why you're funny.
I really believe that's
why you're funny. That's why
I think I'm funny
because
I was bad at gym. That's I think, the root of my comedy. Like being bad at gym.
Oh, my God. Gym, what a stupid thing. They found out I had scoliosis in gym, and I was like, no, I don't. Like, I was, like, such a bitch. I was like, my back's perfect. And she's like, no, it's crooked. And I was like, my dad's a physical therapist. I would know, lady. I was so offended. And then we came home, and they're like, you do have scoliosis.
I did. I think I figured out how to be like self-deprecating in gym class because I would make it was like such a horrible experience and like being in middle school and having tits before everyone else had
having
tits.
To shave your legs suddenly
and like and so having to change and all it's such a horrible thing and I was so not athletic that but the coaches really liked me because I could like joke around and
that's big.
Make fun of myself and like so that's how I got through gym class.
Oh, that's so funny. So you had like a little stand-up set every day for gym.
Yeah, I'd be like, my friend and I, who was also super not athletic, would team up for like tennis. We played tennis one unit or whatever, and we were so bad. We like teamed up for doubles, and we just were like last place. They like set up a little tournament. We were always like the last in the rotation. Yeah, yeah, we never moved up. And so I would just be joking around like, I guess we're undefeated for like being terrible.
That's so cute. I'm sure they were just like, you know what? None of this really matters, kids. Like, that's the thing, too, is like when you're I think you have to, as a teacher, like engage everyone. But then also your adult mind clicks in. You're like, yeah, who cares if you're not good at tennis? No, that's never going to affect your life.
Yeah. And now I've been a teacher. So I get like if I were teaching gym, which I know, although I have subbed gym on occasion. But
for you,
if I were teaching gym, I would like. Enjoy that kid who was like,
oh, hell yeah. I'd be like, come sit by me. Let's make fun of all the other idiots. Like, you're the teacher. You can't sit down. I love it. I love it so much.
Oh my gosh. Oh, speaking of 90s nostalgia.
Yes. Oh my God. Victoria, you are so amazing. This was so fun and funny and such a stupid movie. And I really appreciate you doing this with us and coming on to talk about it and spending so much time.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have met you and also have met you.
Oh, I know. I've seen you.
I've seen you morning. Anyway, so, but blank check. Blank Don't check. Watch it.
Don't watch it. Not a watch. No. Don't watch it. It doesn't hold up. If you want to, the only scene, I would actually say watch the trailer. I think the trailer makes it look so much more fun.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch the trailer.
That's it. That's all you need to watch.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, if we have any fans of Blank Check or if anybody had a Blank Check experience in their life, let us know. I love it. I'm getting people emailing me and sending their scams. So I'm so excited. We're going to do it. Episode soon where I just read off everyone's amazing scams.
Nice. So yeah, let me know.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, where can people find you?
All right, so you can find me at NotVicky4 on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I also have a website still, victorianotvicky.com. So whenever you're listening to this, visit my website. That's where you can find links to how to watch my solo show right now. If you're in the Indianapolis area, you can see it live August 19th through, I want to say, 28th. But look on my website. And then that's all I have booked right now. But keep an eye out because I occasionally will make it available for streaming. So for pay what you
can. I love
that.
Oh, good.
So.
I want to see that. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Kate and Jesse and everybody for listening. And if you have a scam call, you can call us because you know I love a phone call. 347-509-9414. And you can connect with us at scamwellpodcast on gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram. We're around and we love you. Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen to my podcast, too.
Yes.
Sorry.
Oh, do her podcast.
Listen to my podcast, Now Kiss, a shipping podcast. We're brand new and we're indies, so you have to search for it, but we're pretty
funny.
But
you won't be disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worth a search.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
ScamWow Podcast Season 2 is produced and edited by me, Caitlin Brodnick, produced and edited by Caitlin Moldenhauer, and edited by Jesse Caron. We are part of the More Banana Podcast Network, which is an all-female owned and run network for women's voices uninterrupted. If you love us, the best thing you can do is rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It will help us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for listening, all of your support. We're so happy to have you here, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.